Lunch Hour. I'm Bob Surratt.
I'm Marianne Murciano. We are on location. That's how we solve this issue. We're on location.
That's right. Then you don't have to say broadcasting live or anything else that's redundant.
Before a room of beautiful people who came out to see us in Elgin. Listen to them.
Hello from Alexander's Cafe, the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. Coming up in this hour, what's hot in social media? Scott Kleinberg checks in at about 12:37 today. Before that, our man about the world, Johnny Jett, with some travel tips for you. And a little bit later on, millennial investing, what you need to know. First up, though, from the Tribune's Blue Sky Innovation page, covering startup ventures in the new economy, John Carpenter. And one of those startups is in the news today. What's the latest on Uber Eats, John?
Well, you know, Uber is the car sharing service. It's or the car taxi service, and they've extended their brand a little bit to food delivery in the Loop and River North. And basically, they're picking two restaurants a day. They're picking two dishes a day. They're kind of simplifying it to make it so that they can deliver food to you in 10 minutes. At Blue Sky, we tried it out. We actually had our intern sort of supervise it because Uber sort of has a reputation for not being happy with bad coverage. So we threw our intern out there. But we ordered
Hello?
We ordered some food from Uber Eats and
can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Are those the words?
maybe he just went out of range.
I feel like we are on Mars.
It's a good thing we're not actually on the air. That's all I've got to say.
Well, I'm on.
All right, why don't we do this? Why don't we take a commercial break? You notice the commercials always play, though.
Yeah.
There's never a problem with those. All right, back right after this on WGN. Back with John Carpenter from the Tribune, covering startup ventures and the new economy. John, you were finishing up on Uber Eats, I believe.
Yeah. Uber Eats is an extension of Uber, the car taxi service, and they're delivering food to the Loop and River North in 10 minutes or less, or so they said. We tested it out at Blue Sky. We had our intern order some food, and the food was pretty good, although not entirely hot, but it took, I think, 17 minutes to get to us. So I think they still have some things to work out, but it's an interesting idea if you're downtown or in the Loop. They're picking two restaurants a day, two dishes a day. If you're in a pinch and need something quick, the food is sort of carried around in the Uber cars in hot containers, so it stays sort of warm. But kind of an interesting, Uber tends to dominate whatever they set their sights on. So it'll be an interesting addition to sort of the whole delivery world.
So it'll be basically a bunch of people in their own cars because it's the
right.
Uber system.
Yeah.
Congesting traffic.
Well, I think
in the Loop,
they said that they're picking like some of their best drivers, the UberX drivers, I think, and so supposedly it'll be, not just any Uber driver that signs up, but when we ordered our food, the Uber told us that they were 5 minutes away, and that's one of the beauties of Uber. It's this amazing system that can kind of tell you in real time, where the driver is. And they said the driver was 5 minutes away, and they apparently had trouble finding the Tribune. I think we ordered it to the building next to us. So
that was close.
Yeah.
And how is it different from Grubhub? Another service that's similar to that?
Yeah. Well, similar and different in a way. Grubhub, you can order from a whole array of restaurants, and you can order anything off the menu. Uber Eats is in order to hit that 10 minutes or less number, they really have to really pare down the menu every day and literally put the food in the cars. So so there's only two items. So it's similar to Grubhub in that it's delivered food, but Grubhub is a whole platform that as long as a restaurant is participating in Grubhub, you can go in and order anything off the menu. And it's going to take a little bit longer than 10 minutes to get to you, but it was interesting because Matt Maloney was here in Chicago last week, and somebody asked him about Uber Eats, and he at least said that he doesn't particularly feel threatened by it because it's such a different thing. It's really for somebody who's just hasn't planned their lunch, doesn't have very much time, says I'm just going to whatever Uber Eats has, I'm going to eat today, and because it's going to get here in just a couple minutes.
Strangely enough, we're doing the show from Alexander's Cafe here in Elgin today, and even though we're at a restaurant, Marianne is ordering through Uber Eats.
Oh, there you go.
And Grubhub, too? Are you calling Grubhub?
They're delivering.
John Carpenter, Tribune, covering business innovation for us. Thank you, John. And, John, you'll be happy to know, since you're a part of it, we've just been informed the first 20 minutes of our broadcast today will be available at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago for youngsters to listen to and learn.
Well, I'm so glad.
Thanks to everyone texting us at 312-981-7200, letting us know that everybody hears everything except us.
Except for us. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for all those texts.
Which explains a lot. I was asking you before the break, do you remember when I said early in the week, when even Tom Skilling was predicting maybe lower 70 Sunday, that it would be 80? Skilling now says 79. They're getting closer to my prediction.
You are. You should just go into weather, Bob.
This should be interesting, given the first 23 minutes of our broadcast today. We are now going to attempt to make contact with Johnny Jett, our world traveler and proprietor of the website johnnyjett.com, who is on a cruise ship at the moment. This should be good. This is the Earth calling Johnny Jett. Hi, Johnny.
Hi there.
How you guys doing?
Where in the world are you on a cruise?
Eureka. We hear him.
Oh, good. I'm on a Uniworld river cruise in Linz, Austria.
What time is it over there in Linz, Austria, on the river?
It's 7:24, and I'm about to go to dinner right after I'm done with you.
Nice.
Here's the travel news we're reading about in Chicago today, Johnny. American Airlines using a Boeing 787 Dreamliner on a regular route between Chicago and Japan. It'll be the first U.S. airline to use that aircraft on a regular route at O'Hare, and it starts August 18th. Have you been on that plane, Johnny?
I haven't been on American's, but I've been on a bunch of 787s. I've been on British Airways. I've been on United. It's a great plane. They had obviously some major problems with the battery in the beginning, but you know, everything right. Seems to be checking out now. And, you know, what I love about it is when you fly, they have the huge windows. And also, you know, I think they pressurize it at 6,000 feet instead of 8,000. So, you know, when you get off the plane, you feel much more refreshed.
Sounds like we'll be wanting to get on that plane.
When does that start?
It would be a good
August 18th.
ANA started flying it to Japan from the West Coast.
Yeah, the 18th of August, Chicago to Japan on American on the Dreamliner. And then before starting the Japan route, American will be breaking in the new 787 temporarily on a domestic route between Chicago and Dallas-Fort Worth starting May 7th.
Sounds great. Hey, Johnny, tell us a little bit about this Club Med and Cirque du Soleil meeting in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. That just sounds like I want to be there.
You know what? I knew you were going to ask me that. It's so funny because I'm on this cruise. The internet's not great. And that was one of my writers who wrote that story. And so I'm embarrassed to say I haven't read it because the internet's been so slow and I've been so busy sightseeing. So I don't know.
Well, you know what? I think that I'm going to be very sneaky about this and just tell Bob we're going to the Dominican Republic. And then when he finds out that Cirque du Soleil is there and he can also be a part of Club Med, I think he'll just be grateful for the rest of his life.
Here's something you know about
Club Med. I did go to Club Med. You know, they remodeled kind of or redesigned their whole, whole club. In the old days, it used to be a great place to hook up with people. Now it's family-driven. And I went to the one in Cancun right when it opened. And, it's, you know, kids love it because they have all kinds of kids' clubs. And, you know, I loved it, too, because I could do the trapeze. And, the stuff for adults and kids and families. So I'm sure this one's going to be off the charts as well.
Since you're traveling the world, I want to ask you about this. There was a story in the paper this week. 8 out of 10 international travelers worry about the cost of data when they're overseas, according to a new survey. Even so, only half said they had tried to save money by buying a SIM card for their phones. What do you do?
Well, here's a good one. So it all depends. You know, the best carrier right now is T-Mobile because they offer free data and text in 120 different countries. And, you know, you know, Austria, where I am now, is one of them. Unfortunately, I dropped my cell phone, iPhone, yesterday on my bike tour and ran over it. And it's, so I'm calling from someone else's phone. But T-Mobile is the way to go. But if you don't have T-Mobile, make sure you check with your provider before. And if you do not have it, you need to put it on airplane mode right when you before you even land. That way you don't get these crazy enormous bills, which, you know, my wife has had, you know, in the beginning when we learned the hard way. She had a $1,000 bill. I've heard people having a $58,000 bill. So
wow,
you need to be careful on the data.
JohnnyJet.com for all of your travel needs and information. So do you post while you're on the cruise ship?
If he has internet.
It's not a cruise ship. It's a river cruise, and it's, you know, so we're actually near shore within 50 yards at every different time, every given time, which I love about river cruises because you don't get seasick. You know, they say if it sinks, go to the top. Before you go to the top, grab a drink from the bar and a life preserver because, you know, it's very
safe. They don't sink.
You don't get, I just love it. So, and Uniworld, by the way, which where I'm on right now, is amazing service.
Yeah, that, and that's the slogan, Marianne, for them. It says right under their logo, we don't sink.
We don't sink.
Yeah. All right, Johnny Jet, we'll talk to you next week. Happy, safe travels, right. Johnny.
Have fun, Johnny.
Bye-bye.
Let's get to our hashtags, likes, and shares department. Scott Kleinberg, who writes the So Social column for the Tribune, is on top of that. We're talking a lot this week about privacy concerns, and apparently Microsoft knows how old we are, don't they?
I think this is what everyone is doing at work, and the only thing they're doing at work, yeah, they have this new really cool technology. It's a website. It's called howold.net, and you upload a photo. It recognizes your face, and then it tries to guess how old you are, and the crazy thing is it is really accurate.
Well, let me stop you right there because I was watching the Today Show this morning, and the whole cast of the Today Show was doing it, and the app thought that Al Roker was 84 years old.
Well, it sounds about right. Well, maybe a little bit off, but
this is not perfected yet.
It has not been perfected. Results may vary, I think.
It got mine right within 1 year on every photo that I put in, which was really scary. And the terrible thing is I thought this leather jacket that I bought made me look younger, and apparently it makes me look exactly the same age that I am.
In the news, we continue to see those unbelievable scenes from Nepal and other areas affected by the devastating earthquake. And there's some good news, a lot of people helping, including Facebook, with that donate button. How does that work, Scott?
That donate button raised $10 million in 2 days. And if you think about it, that's just crazy, but it's amazing. It shows up at the top of your news feed. It says donate now, has a little space for you to enter a message or something like that. And people are obviously doing it. $10 million in, exactly 2 days.
I don't see where that button is. I'm on my Facebook page right now, and I don't see anything that says donate now.
I don't know if it shows up every time. It usually pops up right at the top of the news feed where you're seeing the latest update. So it's possible that it doesn't show up every single time, but it showed up a few times for me.
So imagine if it was showing up on everybody's news feed all the time, there would be probably a lot more money raised, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But, you know, for all the active users, I think they said there's 935 million active users per month, and that's in the U.S. So, I mean, yeah, if it shows up all the time, and that's not even the final total. That's just 2 days. It's still going on as we speak.
Facebook also launched something new on their Messenger app. How does this video calling operate exactly?
It really works a lot like Skype. It works a lot like FaceTime. You press the button next to the friend that you want to talk to, and if they have Facebook Messenger, you can video chat. And you can do this for a while now on the desktop version. This is the first time it's moved over to the mobile version. So if you are a Skyper or a FaceTimer, this is another way to do video calling that may be easier, because you don't have to go by phone numbers, you just go by Facebook friends. So
do you have to be on wireless? in order for this to work? Like it on my FaceTime, I can't use that unless I'm in wireless.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be connected to the internet, so it works either by Wi-Fi or by whatever your cell signal is. But yeah, you do have to have an internet connection for it to work.
We were talking about Meerkat a while back here. It's now available for Android users. And for people who don't know about it, bring us up to speed here, Scott.
Yeah, Meerkat is one of the two very popular live streaming apps. There's Meerkat and Periscope. Periscope's owned by Twitter. Meerkat's owned by its own separate company. It was the first one to launch with this new cool way of doing live streaming, but it was only for Apple products only. And there was a closed test going on for Meerkat for Android for a very small group of people. But now, as of this morning, it's live for everyone. It still has a beta tag on it. So that means that there could be, you know, some issues with it because it's not exactly perfected yet. But a lot of people have been complaining about the fact that it was only Apple only, and now it's available for a much wider audience.
This is very disturbing, this report that according to the American Academy of Pediatrics, more than one-third of babies are tapping on smartphones and tablets even before they learn how to walk or talk.
Yeah, they did.
Talk about that.
They did a study on this, and I saw it in passing that one of the people that did the survey said that they found it absolutely shocking that it started that young, that parents are letting kids use tablets. It's not necessarily them leaving them alone with the tablets or using it by themselves, but they're letting them get acclimated for what it's like to use that kind of technology. And yeah, like you said, you know, toddlers, you know, before 1 year old, it's just crazy to imagine, but starting extremely early.
And the studies haven't started yet to indicate what kind of brain development they're going to have by having this knowledge at such an early age.
Yeah, you said disturbing, but it may be good. These may be the Bill Gates of the future.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they think in that way from day one. They're thinking like a computer.
Right,
things.
Right.
So and I don't know, is that good or bad? I mean, Bob is always complaining about people not being able to have just free time to use their imaginations. You would think that the toddlers need a little bit of that, right?
Yeah, but what shocked me about it is, you know, you hear parents saying all the time, you know, you're too young for TV, you're too young to do this, you know, so it's shocking that a parent, to me, you know, would allow that to happen. But it, I mean, you know, like you're saying, it might not necessarily be a bad thing. It might have been just like a test kind of thing. But I think the fact that it's less than 1 year old, that's just the shocker.
It is. I think that we're going to be seeing that's the way of the future, though. That's the way it's going to be now, right? I mean, that's the young kids. You have an IT problem, find a six-year-old.
I've been doing IT since seventh grade, so, you know, I guess it makes sense.
See? Scott Kleinberg probably was tapping on a
made a career out of it.
Smartphone.
Oh, if they had smartphones back then, believe me, I would have been.
It's the So Social column of the Tribune. Thank you, Scott, for hanging in back at the studio today, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. It's the WGN Radio Hometown Voices tour from Alexander's Cafe in Elgin today, presented by Allstate agent Dan Hickey. The Business Lunch Hour book club is on the air. Millennial Money is the book by Patrick O'Shaughnessy. And Patrick joins us now to talk about millennials and how it's all different from the way our parents and grandparents did it with pensions and Social Security and retirement. Welcome, Patrick.
Hi there.
Hi there. Good afternoon.
Yeah, tell us about how millennials do and should invest.
Well, thus far in their investing and saving career, they've been very skeptical and very slow to save. I'm sort of the perfect poster child. I just turned 30, so I graduated in 2007, right into the teeth of the real estate crisis and then the global financial crisis. And those two periods left young people very skeptical of markets in general, specifically the stock market. So they've tended to be underinvested. As recently as a couple months ago, their savings rate was negative, so they were spending more than they were earning. So it's been kind of a rocky start for millennials, which was a big reason for the book, trying to reverse that mindset.
Let's back up a little bit and tell us exactly who are the millennials? How old are they?
So there's a couple different ways you can define the generation. It's about 90 million people. Pretty much the easiest way is anyone born between 1980 and 2000. So a pretty wide group of people up to the age of about 35 or so. The biggest generation in U.S. history, so even larger than the baby boom generation.
So you're talking about millennials being as young as 15 years old?
Yeah, that's what kind of the common demographer's definition of them is. Now, functionally speaking, you know, the ones that are interested in investing are, you know, 22 or older, which is a big chunk of that 90 million.
So I guess I shouldn't say we anymore when I'm talking about millennials, should I?
Were you saying what? No.
I slipped that in a minute ago. Patrick, talk a little bit about the best advice for millennials if they want to achieve financial prosperity and build long-term wealth. What's the biggest difference between the way they have to do it and the way their parents or grandparents did it?
So they have one really huge advantage, which is the chance to make all of this stuff happen very automatically behind the scenes. So it's really as simple as whether it's your 401k or there's even companies that automate everything for you, companies like Wealthfront at wealthfront.com, where once you set something up automatically in the background so that every single paycheck you're automatically scraping, say, 5 or 10% of your earnings and putting them to work in the global market, you really kind of forget about it. You don't miss that money, and it slowly grows sort of behind the scenes. That's a huge advantage over prior generations that had to be much more active in making consistent investments. And I think that it's a huge advantage because you can forget about it. And it's very healthy, actually, to check your portfolio as infrequently as possible, because we've got small young people, millennials, have such a long time horizon ahead of them, many decades, which is a great advantage. So really it's all about getting started as young as possible, but also making investments and saving happen automatically without any effort on a paycheck-to-paycheck basis.
And how do they become and evolve into one of these people who knows that it's important to save? Because, I mean, there are a lot of ways to do it, but you have to want to do it.
Yeah, so I think a lot of it is an education problem. When you survey millennials and ask them kind of who they trust on money matters, a quarter of them, so one in four respondents, literally say nobody. I trust nobody. And a lot of that is that same skepticism informed by big crashes that they've witnessed. Now, the second biggest group said that they trust their parents. And so I think that there's a huge opportunity for parents of millennial kids to just give basic education around the merits of saving, some basics on investing. You know, a book or two here or there can go a long way to make young people want to act, because it is hard to motivate people to act with a 4 or 5 decade hence reward in mind. We're thinking much more near term. I think it's all about education, about reaching them, whether it's through parents or a mentor or something like that, when they're young, and just setting it up right from the beginning.
Patrick, in light of all the market volatility in recent years, are millennials afraid to take risks?
So they have, if you just look at their portfolios, they look bizarre. They look like a retiree portfolio, very, very light on the stock market. The most recent survey that I've seen was about 25 or 30% in equities, which is extremely, or stock market said another way, which is extremely low given how long we have until we retire. That, for example, I would recommend closer to 100% in the stock market, since, you know, we can handle short-term volatility. So they've been very conservative thus far in their investing choices, and part of my goal is to unwind that short-term skepticism, because over the long term, the stock market has tended to be the least risky option, whereas things like cash, sitting in cash, is great for the next year, but for 4 decades, it's a bad idea.
It's a fascinating book, Millennial Money, How Young Investors Can Build a Fortune. And it's Patrick O'Shaughnessy, Portfolio Manager and Financial Analyst. Appreciate the time, and to be continued if you just pick up the book, Millennial Money. Appreciate it, Patrick.
Thanks. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, Patrick.
You too. And we'll continue here on the Allstate Hometown Voices Tour, WGN.